If you appreciate the outdoors the way we do, sit back and listen for the next half hour as we go exploring together. We'll join nationally and locally known outdoorsmen who will pass on the knowledge and skills which will help you enjoy your recreational interest more. At the same time, we'll see how you can use your favorite pastime to glorify our Creator, Lord, and Savior. Now here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
All right, Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors at the Archery Trade Association Show. This is going to be a special interview as well. We've had both of these young men on the program in the past, and that's Harold Knight and David Hale. Harold, welcome back to God's Great Outdoors.
Listen, I appreciate you calling me a young man. I'm telling you what, I'm going to take my hat off that.
David, welcome back as well.
Thank you. I love how you use those adjectives very loosely.
Well, for those of you that aren't familiar with these two gentlemen, they've been in the game calling business for a lot of years. So I did use the term young men loosely, I guess you'd say. The real start in the game call business, of course, was turkey calling. Harold, I'm going to leave that to you. Maybe you could talk a little bit about how you guys got started in the industry.
Gosh, Matty, it's been so far back, but we got started, I think, the year 1972. I was making a little tube call, and David had one of them. I was his barber, by the way, back in his days. He was a hog farmer, and I was a barber. I gave him one, and he introduced it to a guy who was contributing editor of Sports Field magazine. This guy finally looked me up, and I gave him one. Make a long short story, he killed a turkey with that call, and was only two turkeys killed that year in Land Between the Lakes. So he wrote a feature article on the turkey call. And it came out in the April issue of 1972. And from that day on, we've tried to field orders. It was pretty exciting then. And he told me, said, you're going to get a lot of phone calls. You're going to get a lot of letters. I couldn't comprehend that, but I can now. And we started just very small, you know, on a kitchen table then. And finally, we grew a little each year till 1984 and went to it full time. And then we sold out in 1997.
Well, I'm going to switch this part of it over to David. We've talked before about the fact in those early years, of course, the industry really was taking off. Turkey were not in every place in the United States like they are today. I think you can hunt them in every state except Alaska. There you have to go to the grocery to buy your turkeys, but they're even in some of the Canadian provinces. Then it was maybe a little easier to hunt turkey. We could talk about how there are so many more turkeys today and more hens makes it tougher to call. A lot of things have changed, but let's talk about the early years.
Well, the early years was great years because there wasn't that many turkeys. And because there wasn't that many turkeys, if you killed one, you pretty much became the turkey guru in your area. When somebody said, asked me after a couple of years of killing turkeys and lambing between the lakes, what kind of call you using, I said, I didn't know you called them. I was just kind of bushwhacking. So I always said that a man ought to go to school first, learning how to slip around the woods and becoming an outdoorsman and a hunter before we learn to call turkeys, because lots of people this day and time put so much emphasis on calling and don't know anything about hunting.
Well, that's good to know. Maybe we could also look back at one of the things that you were talking about, and that's the bushwhacking of the turkeys. Today, with so many folks out there, I believe it's approaching a little over 2 million, maybe 3 million turkey hunters. You are told, as one of those safety precautions, don't do what you used to do.
Oh, that's right. You've always got a danger aspect, but anymore you've got people now leasing up the land all over the country, so you can have some private hunting if you can get in on a lease or you own your own ground, and you can do things a little bit different than the law would tell you to do. But it's legal to use your hunting skills if you want to call it bushwhacking. But I just use that very word very loosely. I like to slip around and look and do those kind of things, and I like to hunt. I like to squirrel hunt a turkey. And you know, if a turkey's ready, anybody can call him up. If he's not, sometimes you might have to crawl him up and be a little careful in doing that.
Well, you know, those turkeys, a lot of folks like to deep fry them, and they smell so good, and that's reminding me that my wife Cindy is standing by to share today's recipe. Folks, do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish, game, or plants that you're harvesting. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with and what type of activity you like to do, and we'll get you copies of Steve Chapman's devotionals. They are autographed, so get those envelopes to my wife Cindy and mark them attention Cindy Calouette. We'd love to have your recipe. We'll be back right after this.
While Jerry and I were in Bethel, Alaska, we had several meals at the home of Steve and Carolyn Kovach and their daughter, Katie. This recipe is for a delicious smoked salmon dip that Carolyn served on Thanksgiving Day. This was a great treat that even a couple of toddlers who were there that day just loved. To make smoked salmon dip, you will need 8 ounces of smoked salmon, 8 ounces of cream cheese, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, and 6 shots of Tabasco sauce. Finely chop the salmon in a food processor. Soften the cream cheese and add to the salmon. Now add remaining ingredients and mix until well blended. Refrigerate this mixture for several hours or overnight to let flavors mature. Remove from the refrigerator approximately 30 minutes before serving with crackers. Remember, God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything."
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, with David Hale and Harold Knight, Knight and Hale Game Calls. Harold, maybe we could gravitate to the next call as we hear the turkey in the background. You went to a variety of types of turkey calls, but you guys have called everything. In fact, I believe part of your testimony, your relationship with Christ, has to do with goose hunting, and I know you can call some geese. These days in the city parks, you don't even have to call them. They're everywhere. You can't get rid of the things, but in those days, it was tough. I mean, when you heard a goose, I know in my, I still, when I hear a goose or a flock of geese, I right away go back to my early years in fall, and I know hunting season's coming.
You know, that's exactly the way I feel. I mean, that you hit right on the head. If I hear a drove of geese come over in the early fall, boy, that brings back memories, you know. And I always look forward to watching that first migratory flock come over. Anyway, goose hunting has been a big part of our business. You know, we used to goose hunt a lot on the Chesapeake Bay area. We'd go up there and enter the world contest each year and promoted our calls up there. And we came out this little tube call few years ago, and I think it won about 3 world champions with that little call, and that helped us a lot in the waterfowl business. But you know, we like to duck hunt also. We just got back from Arkansas duck hunting. We love to hunt duck, and we still hunt geese some. We try to hunt it all. You know, if you look at your calendar, it takes a lot of time up if you try to hunt all your species, and that's what we try to do.
That's especially true these days with those folks going after the predators, the coyotes and bobcats, and the populations continue to increase. David, I guess Harold has brought up something that I had not heard before, and that's the fact that you guys entered into these competitions. Maybe our listeners are not aware of the fact that there are competitions for different types of game calls. One of our board members, Steve Collins, was the 1991 predator calling champ. Maybe you can share a little bit about getting involved in contests and trying to imitate the animals so well that somebody gives you some kind of an accolade for that.
Well, there used to be you got a trophy in entering a lot of these contests, and in some cases that's still the case. But today, you got Grand Nationals, you got Nationals, you got U.S. Opens, you've got so many different varieties of goose calling and duck calling and turkey calling contests, and a lot of these, if you're good enough, you could win up towards $30,000, $40,000 a year. Some of these are paying big, big dollars. That draws big, big interest, and you got a giant pool of talent out there of people who know how to call. And you show me a good caller, and most of the time I'll show you a guy that's going to wind up getting the game on the ground. And when they go to putting money in something like this, it usually shows a man's talents. He's got to put a lot of time in doing this. You're not just going to say all of a sudden, hey, I want to get in a goose calling contest. Those are musical instruments. A duck call is a musical instrument. You're going to have to learn to blow them like such. And if you don't have a musical ear, then you're going to have to be like old David Hale, get you a little box call or a little something simple and use it. I couldn't care a tune in a bucket, but I have to make up for my calling abilities by maybe my hunting skills. But for those guys who want to get in contests, they're out there from the beginner stage on up. I mean, when I say beginner, I'm talking about juveniles, the youth, and that's where you get started. That's where it's all, people like to compete, and some of these kids grow up, and they are absolutely amazing in 15 years what they can do in a contest.
And that's how some of these folks get into the outdoor industry, maybe get a place in the Team Realtree or something else, Mossy Oaks hunting teams. It's just that ability to be able to call. It's something to really work at. Now, Harold, I'd have to say that David has to be pulling our leg a little bit there because he says he can't carry a tune in a bucket. You go to church with him. Maybe you need to tell us if that's true, or can he really sing?
He can sing. He can call, too. You know, he plays that down a lot. I've heard him say the only thing he could play good was radio. He plays good second fiddle, he said. But, I've heard that for many years. I've watched him out in the woods. He is a very good caller and a very good hunter. So I don't hold water to me.
Well, we're going to find out more about this. We got to take another break. We'll be right back after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Hello, this is Dr. Tom Rako, founder and executive president of the Christian Deer Hunters Association. If you're interested in reaching deer hunters with the good news of Jesus Christ, we invite you to write for our free devotional booklet, Devotions for Deer Hunters. Just send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Christian Deer Hunters Association, P.O. Box 432, Silver Lake, Minnesota 55381.
Polestar Outdoors is a nonprofit Christian organization whose sole passion is to come alongside young people and, by utilizing the outdoors, help guide them through life. We use hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, and competitive shooting to try to impact the students of this generation. For more information, go to our website at polestar-outdoors.org or call 307-254-4179.
We're back, Jerry Calluette, God's Great Outdoors, with Harold Knight and David Hale, and Knight and Hale game calls. And Harold, I guess you got to straighten it out. I always thought that you were the best hunter, and they just had some deer and ducks and things tied up for him, and they cut them loose right when the camera went on.
Oh, yeah. You know, so many people come and ask us different things about, I saw you shoot that deer. I saw you shoot that turkey. I saw you miss that duck. I saw you miss that coyote. I guarantee one thing, if you ever miss, especially on a video or television, they will recognize that a lot more than will you hitting.
You're as human as they are. That's pretty important. Speaking of being as human as they are, Harold, let's go back to that goose hunting. You killed a special goose, and that led you on a trail to that calling that we all have, and that is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. That's Jesus' own words. He's calling all of us. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that goose.
Well, I killed a goose when I was about 11 years old, and it had a band on its leg. It had a Jack Miner band, and Jack's from Kingsville, Ontario, Canada, and this is the way he did his work, missionary work, is putting Bible verses on goose bands. And I killed that goose, and it had the verse in the book of Mark, it had, have faith in God. I brought that band home, and my granddaddy and I, we took the Bible out and looked it up, and of course, read before and after, and that had a big impact on me knowing more about Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, my hat's off to this guy that done that work, because it did touch me, and I know it touched a lot of other people across the world.
Amen. Entire Eskimo villages and Indian villages in the north of Canada and Alaska would go to the missionaries, bring these bands, and say, we think God's speaking to us. Tell us what he's trying to say. And not only did Jack Miner do this, but his sons and family have been doing that ever since. So out-of-the-box way of sharing God's creation with some individuals, and that's just an incredible, incredible thing to understand, that men, women, and children have come to Christ because they went out goose or duck hunting. David, your relationship with Christ goes back as well to being a child. Maybe we could talk to the listeners about how you came to know the Lord and how important he is in your life.
Well, I'm very fortunate in that I was raised in a Christian family. My mother and dad went to church. In fact, before we could eat dinner on Sunday morning after we got back from church, we had to listen to an Oral Roberts healing. So that's how tough it was in my house. I had three brothers, and it's amazing how we all was raised up under the same raising, and everybody goes different directions. But my faith in Jesus Christ stuck with me as a kid. And, you know, when I give a testimony this day and time, a lot of people may think, well, here's a guy that's going to get up here and tell about how he came back from the pits of hell, and he was a drunkard, and he was this, and he was that. But I don't have that story to tell. I got a story to tell. It's a very wonderful story that I was raised in a Christian home. Due to that fact, I give my folks a lot of credit for that.
In fact, I think you've said before, David, you had a drug problem.
Yes, my drug problem goes back to the fact that I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged to church on Sunday evening, drugged to the altar when I didn't want to go, and drugged to the woodshed when I needed to be. So I did have a pretty rough drug problem at that time. But that's a wonderful drug problem, and I think if our kids this day and time had that kind of drug problem, we'd be a much better place off.
Well, we just praise the Lord for the fact that we've been able to share with both of you. Maybe there's something that you'd like to say, David, as we come to a close here, the fact that we do have some listeners that maybe at this point still don't have the assurance that if they died this minute, they'd be able to stand in the presence of God. You know, I can think of a lot of terrible things, losing your job, being in a car accident and being all ripped apart and having months and months of rehabilitation, maybe never be able to walk again, finding out that you have terminal cancer, but there's a point beyond that to not having Christ and not knowing where you'll spend eternity. I'd appreciate it if you'd share with the listeners.
Well, there comes a point in my life where I now realize that nothing in this life really matters. We get all tore up about everything. It really doesn't make any difference. But what does matter is where I'm going in the next one. This one has passed so fast for me. It's been but a twinkle of an eye, and I'm 60 years old, and I'm looking for eternity. That's forever. So I want to make sure that where I'm going, I want to be with the Lord, and I want to have a chance to get there. For those people out there who hunt and fish and like Harold and I, we're just old country boys that have come along just like you guys and folks, and want you to understand that the Bible tells us that we're without excuse for not knowing him if we partake in his creation. That's paraphrased from Romans 1:20. Well, the more I read about the Bible, the more I realize that we're in the last days, and with that all in mind, I'm getting prepared for the future, and I suggest to anybody else, because you don't never know one minute to the next when you're going to take your last breath. I want to know that everybody knows I know Jesus Christ, and if you know him, that's all he says we got to do. The rest of it is it may get rewards for this and that, but beyond that, you can't earn your way. It's his gift. It's his gift of love, and all you got to do is accept him in your heart. That's a pretty cheap price to pay for eternity.
Amen. Harold, what about you?
You know, there's lots of things you think's real important in life, and it is a lot of things important in life, but there's nothing any more important in life than knowing Jesus Christ, you know, and it's very easy for people probably out there listening to say, you know, I want to know him one of these days, but I'll just wait. You know, that's easy to do and say, but if you listen to a guy that's been through a lot, that don't put it off. Where are you at? You accept Jesus Christ now, because I tell you what, you'll never be sorry.
Praise the Lord. I agree with both of you gentlemen fully, and we're just going to be believing that the individuals that are listening right now will make that decision if they haven't already. Harold, thanks so much for being here again on God's Great Outdoors. Always a pleasure to see you and be able to share with you.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I want you to know that we always look forward to being on your show.
And you too, David. It's good to see you also.
God bless you for your work, and I know there's a lot of people have been touched because of it. Thank you.
And while David and Harold have been making their living for quite a few years now in calling game animals, by now I would say it's obvious that there is another calling on their lives. And I'd like to say that I think I can speak for them, as they both would firmly agree and stand behind 1 Peter 3:15, where it says in God's Word, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those that speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." Friends, if you're listening to this program right now and you don't have the ability to be able to say that if I died this minute, I know that because of the blood that was shed on the cross by Jesus Christ and my acceptance of his death, burial, and resurrection, I have the assurance that I will be able to stand in his presence and have him welcome me into his kingdom. If there is concerns there, doubts, in fact, if you've been trying to do it by works or an affiliation with a certain church, you know, it can only be done through the blood that was shed on the cross. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word, and by confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, and that he came to pay the penalty for the sins that we all have, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. And in another place, the scripture tells us there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. We are all guilty, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can keep us from that destiny that we all have, acceptance of the sacrifice that was performed on Calvary's Hill as Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Friends, if you don't have that assurance, maybe you aren't even sure what I'm talking about, but you desperately feel God squeezing your heart and telling you that you need to have what Harold Knight and David Hale have and so many others. You want to talk to someone right now and be able to say, yes, I have that peace that passes all understanding. I have that peace that Harold and David have. It's easy to do. All you have to do is call 1-888-NEED-HIM. There's someone waiting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to speak to you. Again, that number is 1-888-NEED-HIM. I promise that they can help you make that transition from death to life. And we're talking death, separation from God in the pits of hell, the fire that was created by God for Satan and his demons. Men only step into it because they willingly refuse to receive the gift of the cross, that death and blood of Jesus Christ. That blood can cover your sins. If you are feeling the need to talk to someone and begin a first-time relationship with Jesus Christ, again, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. I promise you will be so glad that you did. Don't wait. Make that call today. 1-888-NEED-HIM.
Here's a one-that-got-away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. Here's a story that really stinks, literally. Russell Thornberry, the executive editor of Buckmaster magazine, hasn't always made his living as an outdoor writer and editor. Besides a short time as a professional musician, Russ spent many years outfitting and guiding fishermen and hunters in Canada. One summer, Russell was guiding two fly fishermen for trout on the famous Bow River. This water course flows out of the Canadian Rockies and onto the prairies of southern Alberta. Well, things were not going well at all. Russell said, you couldn't even buy a fish, it was that bad. High winds plowing across the prairie made it very tough to cast a fly rod. It would have been tough for an expert, which neither of these men were. Stopping for lunch, the discouraged fisherman lay down to take a nap after eating. Now, normally Russell didn't fish while guiding, but he waited out while the guys rested. He hoped that if he could catch a fish, it would renew their spirits and belief that trout really did exist in the Bow River. Going down to a section of the river where the grass bank formed a high wall on one side of the waterway, Russ gave it his best. However, the wind was overpowering his efforts and whipping his back cast onto the grassy bank. He'd been hung up a half dozen times or so when he felt the line snag the bank in the prairie grass behind him again. Responding with a very hard jerk to free the line gave, yet it felt as if something, well, it felt funny. Russell turned to see a ball of black and white fur flying down off the bank headed right on top of him. He ducked in time as the poor old skunk he now had hooked to his line sailed by and landed in the river. Russ now thinks the skunk mistook the big streamer fly for a grasshopper, and as he tried to grab it, it grabbed him only to become his demise. Now, Russell Thornberry may have been skunked on that fishing expedition, but one place he wasn't, and that's where it came to his eternal future after his death. You too can have assurance of peace in the life hereafter. For a book on the subject by Rhonda Lindner called The End of the Line, contact us here by mail, phone, or email.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? You can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
Should man hunt? What does the Bible say? From time to time, we get contacts asking if it is okay for people to fish, hunt, or even eat meat. So we've taken scripture verses that deal with this topic and put them on a handy little bookmark to place in your Bible. For a free copy, contact us right away. This tool will help to share scriptures with those sportsmen needing to know their Creator God. Call 1-877-TALK-GGO.
Well, we pray this program was a blessing to you today, and we want to thank today's guest for sharing about their trail to adventure. It's always a blessing to hear from those who listen, and we're also thankful to everyone who prays for our work in reaching outdoorsmen for Christ. And we're blessed as well by those who help this ministry financially. If we can help you in any way to reach out to those in your life who need Jesus, please let us know how. I'm John Skillman reminding you that there is no better way to benefit from God's great outdoors.